are now watching the College Baseball Insider Show.
He's behind it. This is hammered. Left field, and we are tied. Wow.
Now, here are your hosts, giving you an inside look into the top matchups.
Week 4 is here, and the rain is still here as well, as Quentin backstage just updated UCF, Oklahoma playing in their first Big 12 game as the UCF Knights have joined the Big 12, has been postponed. It'll be a doubleheader tomorrow. So add that to the list with McNeese and Arkansas. Hugh, what's up?
What's up? Friday, it's a good day.
Where to be?
Yeah. No, I was trying to tweet out the show, trying to do my due diligence.
Smitty is missing from us today, so it should make for a little quicker show. Maybe a little less energetic, though. We'll hopefully get Smitty back on the Monday recap. But anyways, full slate. I'm very excited about it. Pitt, North Carolina, Duke, Wake Forest as ACC play kicks off. Then you end it with Texas Tech, Texas, and TCU, Kansas at night as Big 12 also kicks off. I think SEC is next week. I'm not sure about Big 10. They're pretty much irrelevant at this point, outside of maybe Indiana, but I don't have high hopes for them either.
Big weekend for them.
Big weekend. Okay, jumping right into
Just start with them while you brought it up. If I think this is before we jump into our regular games, Indiana, this to me is make or break for them. If they lose this series to Troy, they have fallen off the train tracks, in my opinion. All the hype, everything was going into them. Kind of like Iowa. Iowa felt like they kind of derailed some, especially after Ole Miss took 2 of 3. I know it's not an in-conference game. Like, you could still win the conference in Indiana and still not be a good team or a threat in the postseason. So I think this weekend is kind of make or break for them.
I agree. Who do you have in that one? I know it's part of the 11.7 pick'em.
I think they're going to turn it on. I mean, I think it's at home, which helps. I think if they were playing in Troy, it'd be a problem. But I think they get themselves right. I don't think they're an elite team by any means. I think some people were thinking they were going to be better than maybe what they are. They still have some growth. They have one good pitcher, and then everybody else is average. They do have a good lineup, but outside of a couple dudes, you know, they're pretty average as well. They're a growing team. They're not elite. So I think they get through Troy at home, and then I think they could still win the Big Ten, but I think the expectations kind of need to be brought back down to earth with them personally.
Troy was in a stellar midweek game against Alabama. I thought they were going to get the win, but shout out Sam. Thank you. Slate today is incredible. I hope a lot of the games hold on, though, as we begin getting rain cancellations, two of which on the board, or maybe not, just McNeese State and Arkansas and then UCF.
Yeah.
And who?
That I know of.
Okay, are you ready to jump into the previews?
Yep.
Pitt, surprisingly 8-1. 44 ranked RPI, which really doesn't mean anything at this point. Strength schedule 163. But they take on a North Carolina team that's been pretty salty behind Vance Honeycutt. This one's got to be North Carolina. I feel like you look at the pitching matchups, Folger Boaz. He's been pretty solid as their Friday night guy after the loss of Jake Knapp. Do you think Pittsburgh has a chance to keep this close, or do you think North Carolina sweeps them?
I'll tell you, I'm looking very hard at maybe doing an added play here at North Carolina -1.5, to be honest. -135.
Feels short.
It does. It feels like this could be like a 9-5 game, UNC. I think Pitt is having a hell of a year to start, but I think they're exceeding expectations, and I think they kind of get brought back down now. This should be, I guess, in my opinion, probably the toughest game they've had to date. You know, but maybe this is where North Carolina kind of falls off. We talked about how they're either going to be elite or kind of middle of the row, and this is a big spot for them. I think in the, if you, you asked me earlier in the year if I'm thinking this series is going to kind of define North Carolina, I would have said no. But being that Pitt's 8-1, we're going to find out who's fraudulent. Is it North Carolina or is it Pittsburgh? And I think I'm looking really hard at -1.5, and I might go down burning with the Tar Heels. Stay tuned.
Both teams pretty balanced. 134, 132, WRC plus, the Sierras right there neck and neck. So I think it will be a good test for North Carolina, and we'll see how good Pitt is, like you stated. All right, moving on to another ACC matchup. This is the primetime game, in my opinion. 12th-ranked Blue Devils, 11-1 on the season, behind Jonathan Santucci going on the bump for Duke. Take on the number one team in college baseball, Wake Forest, with Josh Hartle on the bump. This one surprised me. So, one, I was not surprised that the projections actually had Duke better because of their offensive production. They are the number one ranked offense in the country with a 159 WRC+. However, when I saw that they were they opened up at plus whatever it was, plus 154, I saw some offshore books had as high as plus 180. I was like, okay, this is wrong. This is flat out wrong. This is not Rhett Lauder going on Friday. Josh Hartle's been good, but not to that elite level. I mean, you look at the starting rotation, he's actually got the worst stats of all three of them when you look at the advanced stuff. Their offense has kind of been lacking, 127, under 1,000 OPS, pretty weak strength of schedule at 97th. I just feel like Wake, this is the game that they lose. I do feel like they end up winning the series because Chase Burns has been virtually unhittable. Michael Massey has been elite. I like their matchups Saturday, Sunday. But give me Jonathan Santucci and the Duke Blue Devils on Friday night. What are you doing here?
Yeah, I agree with you. I wasn't surprised that Duke on the projection run scored was obviously the winner. I was surprised at the plus 154. I think they're just mispriced, and I think Wake Forest is getting benefit of the doubt as being the number one team, but this is two different teams from the 23 to the 24. I've watched several Wake Forest games on ESPN Plus, and I'm not impressed with what I've seen. Nick Hurts struggling. 262, two home runs. It really doesn't seem like he's been pitched around. It just seems like maybe he's just putting too much pressure on himself and almost just needs to kind of simplify things and literally say put bat to ball and just have fun, almost like that T-ball mindset, and get back to just kind of doing what he did last year. But if I'm not mistaken, this series last year was in Duke, and Duke took one of them without Santucci. So, and again, I could be wrong because Santucci, I believe it was without Santucci. I don't think he was with the team that late in the season. It was one of the earlier matchups, but I think Duke actually gets 2 out of 3 here. I think they get tonight, and I think they get Sunday. I think it's going to be a rubber match on Sunday, but I think the bullpen is just better. If Cole Rowland was healthy, then I think that would kind of even things out a little bit, but he's not. And the grand scheme of things is Duke's played better. I think Duke's had a little bit of a better schedule to this point. You know, they played Indiana, they played Coastal. I think Duke is the team to play here.
I can't fault you. I'm right there with you. The only thing is I feel like in a rubber match, I would give the lean to Michael Massey. Left a drinking club. Thanks for tuning in. He said the Deacons will wake
up. There they are, the guys.
Maybe. We'll see.
They might. I mean,
outside.
Listen, if Wake Forest does it, if they wake up and they beat Duke 2 out of 3, then they deservedly stay in the number one spot. But well, yeah. Yeah. But I think I don't think it's out of the realm to predict Duke is going to win 2-1. And I don't think that's a knock at Wake Forest by any means. I think that's a testament to how Duke good is. Or how good Duke is. Wow, I can't speak today.
It worked. Hey, and thanks. Nobody told me that the logo was backwards. I did it on Johnny's show last night, and then I watched myself, and sure enough, it was the same. So I had to flip it there mid-sentence earlier. I don't know.
We'll have to get one of the Lupton boys on. I don't know if we can fit all four of them, but.
You hear that, JD? Come on. All right, so we got a question from Drew here. When Stovall comes back, who do you think, Dave, will sit between Holt and Sprague Lott? Hard to sit Sprague Lott. Yeah, I agree. It's why I threw up the graphic. So this game has been postponed to tomorrow. Sprague Lott, he's second on the team. Actually, first on the team in WRC+. Yeah, I agree. You can't really sit him. I think you would move Holt right now to the bench, and you have Sprague Lott at third. Obviously, Vahiva Aloy, keep him at short, and then bring in Peyton Stovall at second. And I hope that Stovall ends up coming in as the leadoff guy, because this offense really needs to pick it up.
Don't bring Stovall back until it's a midweek.
Yeah, I feel like Missouri, the opening weekend of SEC plays, when we'll see him. He may get eased into it in a midweek. I don't know. But McNeese, they do a really good job, Arkansas does, and we'll talk about it next with Florida. But scheduling these like weaker opponents that are still going to have a high RPI because they're probably going to run through their conference, this is good, and this is a good test. Projections have Arkansas winning. But the biggest question mark for me is Arkansas's bats. They've got to wake up. I feel like this is going to be a repeat of, what was it, 2018 team. They had below a 900 OPS. I feel like 21 did it too with Kevin Copps. The bats look great at times, and then they would fall asleep. So I really want to see them just let it rip this weekend. The doubleheader with Hagen Smith, Brady Tiger, we know that both of those pitchers are elite. I'm not worried about McNeese scoring more than us, but I would like to also score more than two or three runs against mid-major. So rant over.
Yeah.
I'll let you. If you've got any other comments.
I just think Arkansas plays up to competition and down to competition. They just kind of sleepwalk through this. They get up for the games they need to, similar to what Florida does. You know, I know we kind of revert back to those two teams a lot, but, you know, we know them the best, and that they're very good examples in many facets. And I think both kind of sleepwalk through the midweeks. They don't really care, especially if they lose them. You know, they might in the press make it seem like they care, but they're all business on the weekends, and they do a good job, like you mentioned, of scheduling tougher midweek as well as mid-major opponents. Florida just naturally has Central Florida, FAU, you know, other schools at their disposal. Arkansas does the same, and sometimes it bites them. You know, those teams are good enough when they play up, they can beat Arkansas and Florida. But I think during the weekends is really when they really care to play. But Florida and Arkansas play up to competition, in my opinion. And then when it's a team they should probably sweep 3-0, they kind of lull themselves through it. It could be frustrating at times.
Yeah, and to follow up also on Drew with Sprague Lott, while he is first or second, I think Ross Lovich actually has the higher WRC+. But Peyton Holt sitting at 91. I know it seems like he gets on base, but as far as creating runs, he's not doing it. Surprisingly, Nolan Souza is third on the team with 168, and what he's been doing when he comes in and fills in. I know he's played a lot in the midweek with his bat. He looks like he's going to be a good addition too. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Dave's going to continue to monitor it at catcher as well. I feel like Ryder Helfrich's really struggling right now, which he should. He's a true freshman. So maybe give one of these other guys a shot, bring him in this weekend and switch it up. Okay, moving on to Q's Florida Gators. They host St. Mary's, and I kind of laughed when the projections came out because I get it. It's high because Cade Fisher's ERA is high and Sierra is good, so he's probably going to regress back down to where he should be with that ERA. But as of right now, I've kind of got this as a coin flip. So I took a little taste on plus 380 for St. Mary's. It's probably going to lose. Don't go crazy, but you know, throw some lunch money on it, $5-$10, just sweat it out, see if St. Mary's can keep it close. Q, tell me why I'm wrong.
I think you should have played the runs. I think it's, what, plus 4.5? I would have taken that.
It may be.
Florida's not going to lose to St. Mary's on a Friday. Cade Fisher, I know the numbers are still kind of slowly creeping down. You see his ERA, you see his exit, you see his Sierra. They're just so far apart. I think he pitched 3 2/3 or 4 innings last week against a better Miami squad in terms of some competition he's faced. He pitched really well. He's going to get stretched out. It could be this weekend. kind of getting him ready for SEC play. He's going to be, the leash is going to be lengthened a little bit. Sully kind of right now is trying to see who his dogs are, and kind of get some confidence when it, particularly to Cade, I think. But I think now he's going to start stretching him out to maybe five innings today and then six innings, because it's a reality. The bullpen has pitched a lot for Florida this year. It's similar to design, you know, Peterson being a true freshman Saturday, Cade Fisher kind of off that rocky start. We're going to ease him into the SEC play, trying to keep him a little fresh. But I think the numbers are accurate, but I think the eye test is going to be a little different, because I think the numbers are skewed for Cade right now.
Yeah, they definitely are.
But to the numbers right now, they are, I think it's accurate.
One that has already started, I guess they moved it up because of the weather. Austin Peay, Auburn, and I'm kind of glad, because I think Austin Peay is already down 5-0. But these are two high-powered offenses. I said on Johnny V's show last night that I wouldn't be surprised if all these games go over. Chase Alsup got the call for the Friday night start against Jacob Weaver. Both of these guys are mid-three Sierras. But the offenses, you look at 139, WRC plus 131. Austin Peay actually batting over 1,000 OPS. I feel like the ball's going to be flying in the plains. You've got wind, 22 home runs each for these clubs. 5-2. Hey, Austin Peay, thank you for the live update, Sam. All right, so Austin Peay,
keep the bullpen going. I like this.
I know. I love when y'all comment. We're going to talk to y'all the whole time. So, do you have anything in this one? Austin Peay, kind of one of those surprising teams as far as their offensive production. I kind of love it.
Yeah, I think they kind of got put on notice. Who was it? They beat Mississippi State back to back in the midweek, or was it Mississippi? Oh man, I think it was Mississippi State. They kind of put themselves on notice, I think, and. Tip the cap to Auburn, man. I didn't think Auburn was going to be this good this year, this early on, and they're impressive 10-2. I think they kind of would be like a 7-5 or 8-4 team. They're obviously in the top 20 rankings, and they look pretty dangerous. Now, obviously, Gonzalez slid from Saturday to Sunday. Well, technically they had Sunday TBA, but I would think it's Gonzalez. But Myers, I think he's pitching hot. Other than Alsup, you know, Alsup's elite. I think we're going to see that as the season goes. He's their guy. I'm looking to see Mississippi State. Yep, thanks, Sam. They're going to get through this weekend. Auburn is, but I'm really curious to see how Auburn is during SEC play. Are they legit, or are they just kind of they're getting on the right track and they were able to dominate early on and then kind of falter in SEC play when they play the powerhouse teams?
I'm looking at tomorrow, Andrew Devine. 2.65 ERA, 1.41 Sierra, going against, well, kind of flipped with Carson Myers, low ERA but high Sierra. So I feel like he's going to regress a little bit, especially against an offense like Austin Peay. So if you're going to give me 4-1 on Austin Peay tomorrow, I'm going to take him again. All right, ACC play, number 13, Virginia faces the lowly Miami Hurricanes, sitting at 7-5, coming off series loss to Big Brother in Florida. The Gators looked okay. Daniel Cuvée is a stud. They did pick up one win against Florida, but I don't know. I think Virginia probably is the right side here, even though Miami's playing at home, should probably get, you know, have a get right spot. Can you make the case though for Miami in any of these matchups? Virginia switching up the lineup. Colin McKay is going to get the start today. His numbers look pretty good. Evan Blanco, Jay Wolfolk to finish out the weekend. Do you notice anything? There is no Jack O'Connor.
He's falling off.
He's falling off. So what do you think about the Cavs in your backyard?
I don't think Miami's that good. I think they have two good hitters in Jason Torres and Daniel Cuvée. Blake Sear, elite last year. I don't know what's going on. He did leave the team. He had a family issue from what I heard. You know, is that still lingering? In the mindset, you know, hopefully he can kind of turn it around. But outside of those two, Cuvée and Torres, they're really struggling. Shortstop play, just hit a hard ground ball to shortstop and you'll get on base. Miami shortstop is terrible. I actually thought Hernandez pitched okay Sunday against Florida. He left a couple pitches hanging. I thought Schlesinger is their best pitcher. I thought Gage Zeal was consistent, But I think Rafe Schlesinger, man, that three-quarter half arm slot is just nasty. I think they left him in slightly too long. Florida started figuring it out and teeing off as he started hanging pitches. But I think he's a real deal. But Virginia obviously countered that with Evan Blanco going Saturday. Man, that's tough. If Zeal could pitch like he did last week for the first four innings, I think they have a real good shot to stay in the game, especially because we haven't seen Colin McKay pitch against anybody solid yet. So this will be a big test. There's a definite difference in pitching on a Tuesday, Wednesday versus a Friday. So if he kind of gets rattled, then I think Miami can maybe make a chance tonight. But if McKay's dialed in, then I don't see any chance Miami can win. Best chances with Schlesinger, but then with Blanco pitching, it's going to be tough. Yep.
You took the words right out of my mouth. That was what I was going to back Miami tomorrow. And then when I saw that Blanco wasn't going to start, it's like, oh, no, that means he's going to go Saturday.
Playing chess.
It sucks.
O'Connor's good, man. He's a good coach. He knows what to do.
Miami still may be worth a look if you're going to give me plus 120. If the line is similar, Rafe Schlesinger has the better stats. So I'll be curious to see what the projections say.
Similar to last week's lines.
Yeah. All right, Lupton Drinking Club, cover your ears. Your fifth-ranked Horned Frogs are the luckiest 13-0 team
in college baseball.
But you know what? You'll take it every damn time. I think in 8 of the 13 games, they've had a less than 10% win probability at one point or the next. The projections like Kansas, who they're known for basketball, okay? Let's not sugarcoat it. I can refute that easily. That's why we need to have it on your show. Okay, listen. Love to Drink Club. Let's place a bet. You figure out the terms, but or what's on the stake. But I guarantee you Kansas takes one of three against TCU.
I would jump into that.
You can give me odds. We can decide on what the payment should be, what I need to do, if I need to rock out in my TCU hat for an episode. We'll see. So just name your price. But I think Kansas loses. I think Kansas loses a series. TCU is going to lose a game. I really like Kansas with Reese Dutton going tonight. He's got the lowest Sierra on the team. Well, actually, no, Grant Adler does. Of the starting rotation. But Peyton Tolley hasn't been super impressive. I think he's definitely hittable.
None of them have been.
TCU is going to regress. And it's not – I'm not saying TCU's overrated. Hell, I've got an in-pocket play on them to win the College World Series. I hope if Arkansas is out, I hope TCU wins the whole damn thing. However –
Well, it's just unsustainable.
Right. You look at their stats, and this is these aren't the stats of a 13-0 team. I mean, you could flip back and look at Miami stats, who's 7-5, and I actually think Miami's higher in just about everything. So I agree. Not taking that bet. Let's do it.
Listen, this is a testament to TCU to go 13-0.
I mean, what is Kirk Starlos saying in this dugout? Like, are they doing cocaine? Are they like, what is going on in this locker room to be able to, or in this dugout to just come out and obliterate in the second half of games? What sense?
No, I agree with that. It is. I mean, they're all in a slump, but yeah, that is a testament, right? They're in a slump, especially on the mound, and they are winning the games. So that is a huge testament to the team. But there's only so much luck in baseball, and to it almost seems, and I could be dead wrong, but it almost seems like they're using up all the luck to where they could just have some bad beats later on. And I hope I'm wrong, because I want TCU to obviously make it to the Final Four like they did last year, because I think it's great for baseball to have those big names out there. I think it makes the College World Series incredible. But I'll tell you, man, Peyton Tolley, it's an adjustment pitching from Wichita State to TCU, and it's only going to get harder. When they start playing well, yeah, I mean, absolutely, anything can happen. We're both sitting on Matt and I are sitting on futures
and to win the Big 12, but
they're gonna lose some because, well, look at Tennessee. They went 56-9 or something like that, and two seasons ago, they didn't even make the College World Series because they had lucky games. They were so hot, whether they were in the slump or their guys kind of woke up and they just got beat by a team that had better luck at the time. and by Notre Dame, and it just is what it is. This 13-0 run is coming to an end here, and I think the same for Texas A&M. Now, Texas A&M hasn't struggled nearly as much as TCU, but eventually teams are going to lose. It's just baseball. You can't go 56-0 in college baseball. It's impossible. So I think this weekend it's not a matter of if, it's when, and I think Kansas can get it done at least one of the three games.
Yeah, and don't lie, I'm not throwing shade at TCU by any means.
Yeah, this is no shade.
I bet against the Razorbacks right here at Baum Walker, TCU to win that Fayetteville Regional. I think they were like plus 220. That was easy money. There was not a hotter team in baseball. But you're going through that hot, cold, hot again. They did it last year. Started off, I left Arlington after they obliterated Arkansas there.
Yeah.
And I said, man, TCU looks like the real deal. I think they were, 50-1, 45-1 to win the College World Series. I placed a little bet on them there. But in the end, they fell off a little bit through conference play, and then they got hot at the right time again. And I feel like that's all you can ask for. Regardless what happens, they are going to lose games, and they are going to be just fine because of their potential. TCU has played probably the hardest schedule in baseball. Florida Gulf Coast was the number one OPS team in the country last year. And 8-0 versus Pac-12. They're 11-0 against good competition. I wouldn't bet against them. Thank you for tuning in, 64 Analytics. I agree. I think they are a good team. However, there is
We're not saying that they're a bad team.
Yeah, they're 13-0. I don't think they're going to get to 16-0 before they get to 15-1, and I think it happens this weekend. 15-1 is still a
it's
great
still great
record. Yeah.
Yeah. You can still win a national title with a loss. It has been done.
Yeah, Arkansas's got the number one pitching staff in the country, and we've lost to Oklahoma State by one and James Madison. So it's okay.
They are fitting the hot, cold, hot, and that's really the only trend that you need to fit, outside of maybe the Sierra and all that. But TCU's right there. They're a team that can win it all, for sure. They're just not going to go undefeated.
A team that collectively doesn't have as many wins on the season as TCU. We have UConn taking on UCSB.
Combined.
Matt Ager is projected to go tonight versus Ian Cook, who's not been good. He was good last year. Not sure what's happened. It hasn't translated into the 2024 season thus far for the Huskies. They're 3-6. Is this a get-right spot? Do the Gauchos get the sweep here over UConn?
Yes. I think last week was their get right. I think this is they're finally in, third gear and not stuck in second. I think they're especially at home. Man, again, I talked about this on Jeff Dawson's show, East Coast Sports Investors, last week. I get UConn plays in a cold area. It's cold in Connecticut right now. There's no doubt about it. But they have got to schedule better. I mean, they bounced from California to Florida, like to Alabama, and then back to California. And they're supposed to be in California for 2 weeks. Like at some point, these kids want to go see home. And I know it's tough, but you can also use that cold weather to your advantage if you can get some games in there. Again, I know it's tough, but this living on the road for your first month and a half, 2 months, that's unsustainable. You just can't win when you're away from family, when you're away from your hometown and your home field and facilities. This is where they get swept. And frankly, I don't think it's close.
All right. I think UCSB sweeps them as well. 24 ranked Texas Longhorns. It was on your shit list last week. Number 17, Texas Tech. The wind's going to be blowing in Lubbock. I think I saw 20 mile per hour winds tonight. This is going to be fun. LeBaron Johnson Jr. is going to be tested. We've got a coin flip basically on the spread. For those that aren't familiar with betting college baseball, about 115 is as close as you're going to get to a, minus 110.
This is a pick'em.
Yeah. Kyle Robinson, he's been somewhat impressive. Kind of the beneficiary of a weaker schedule, I would say. They did get trampled in Oregon against Oregon State in a midweek, which, you can't really – you got to throw out the midweeks because they're not starting their starting rotation. But Texas, I mean, just blow a 11-3 lead against Vanderbilt. They had a 99.8% win probability in that game. you lose. I was on Texas plus 1.5. I thought that was money in the bank. That's I already tough. Spent the money, and they give it up. They don't even cover the run line. They lose 14-11.
Inexcusable. I mean,
what I'll is your what. Mindset going through that? And then you follow it up by just absolutely laying an egg in a should have been a like much needed win game against A&M in the midweek.
Yeah, David I agree. I mean,
a problem on his hands. I feel like
to have to leave Houston. I'm sure that bus ride was extremely quiet. To then have to play Texas A&M, you know, who's a rival for God knows when since the test of time. Even though it's not a conference, it doesn't matter when it's a rivalry. You know, Florida State still hate each other, even though it's not a conference win or loss. Texas A&M still hate each other, even though it's not a conference, you know, deciding win or loss. To have to blow leads like that in Houston, take a somber ride home, turn around, get your mind right against Texas A&M, which you didn't. You lost, I believe, 9-2. Really had a pathetic showing. Then you can't even be like, okay, we've just got like a cupcake to bounce back. Let's get our minds right. You have to play the number 17 team in the country, Texas Tech, who, like you mentioned, Kyle Robinson's pitching very well. And I look at this man and I think it's mispriced personally. I think to give Texas minus 115 is a little crazy. I think Texas is, man, they should probably be plus money here, to be honest. I think Texas Tech should be like minus 145 in this spot. They're in my opinion, starting off a little slow offensively, and I think they get it going against Texas here. This is probably the best offense that Texas on paper will have faced. I think LSU's up there, but Texas Tech, man, what they could do to you, and they have so many guys that can do it. Just wait till Gavin Cash starts to get going and Gage Harrelson. Wow, I think it could be this weekend. There's going to be a lot of horns down. You're not even playing this in Austin, which makes it even worse. Like, you have to get your mind right on a road in a hostile environment. This is going to be bad.
I think so.
I wouldn't be surprised if they get swept.
The wind in Lubbock is going to expose pitching. And if you're going to, if it's going to come down to bullpens and offense,
Texas can't throw to us, dude. Texas could throw to us. No. I mean, they were getting smashed.
Their bullpen has the higher Sierra and their bats have a lower WRC plus. The numbers
that 392 Sierra. If you take out the starting pitchers from that 392, I bet you it's 792.
Yep. I hope the Red Raiders just absolutely
obliterate. I think I'm calling for a sweep. I think it's a sweep.
It'd be a big win for Tech. I feel like to beat LeBaron Johnson Jr. too.
Oh yeah.
The locker room's just got to be pretty dejected right now. After losing the way that they've lost, they're sitting at 7-5. Pretty much, I mean, if you lose this series, you're not out of the Big 12 race,
but it's going to be
a rough road to try to get back into it. I'll put it that
way. I'll tell you that and we'll move on, but the Big 12, I think, is going to be better than maybe even I anticipated. Houston's blown a couple leads, but they could give Texas problems if Texas can't figure it out. Central Florida, I don't know if they play this schedule, and if they do, I don't know. I can't sit there and tell you if it'd be home or away, but nobody saw Central Florida starting a season 9-1. I mean, for Big 12 play, if you get a dejected Texas, anybody can beat you. A dejected any team can get beat. So I think the Big 12 might be harder competition than what we probably initially thought back in January.
Yeah, I agree. And I was down on the Big 12 outside of Texas and TCU. But
we both were.
Here we are. I'm not going to be surprised now if Texas Tech's playing in June. I'm not going to be surprised if Texas is fourth or fifth in the Big 12. I'm not going to be surprised if UCF is up there in the top three. From what I've seen thus far, they look very impressive. They're going to go on the road, take on a tough Oklahoma team this weekend. I say tough. They're not great, but they're also a formidable team of decency, to say the least. All right. Does anything else catch your eye this weekend? Anything you're looking at that was not covered in the starting lineup?
Yeah, I just – The only other, because I had it in, I think Florida State takes care of business against New Orleans. I think Cam Leiter is the real deal for that team. It'll be interesting to see them during ACC play if they're kind of real or not. I think like Jarrett's got them on the right track. And then Coastal plays Michigan at 4 p.m. today. Michigan, a couple decent pitchers. I don't want to say they're elite, but Coastal's got a 10-game win streak. I did take Coastal. Man, I don't. Teams riding 10-game win streaks, it's hard. Again, we talked about just teams are going to lose. It's not if, it's a when. So be a little wary of that, but I think Coastal is every bit worthy of a good deep June run. So I'll continue to play them, but I'm trying to think of the matchups. UCF will be a good matchup to watch, just kind of see if they're real deal, like you just touched on.
Let me ask you a question, because they're playing right now. Northeastern, they were kind of a dark horse there that we liked at the beginning of the season. Then they dropped that series that we thought they should have won against Arizona.
Yeah.
They're quietly back.
They're coming back. I think the pressure got to them personally. I think they started reading the newspaper.
Did we sell on Northeastern too soon? Like, should Northeastern just be an auto play right now with Wyatt Scotty, Jake Gigliotti, and I can't think of the third pitcher off the top of my head.
We got plenty of time with them personally. We have plenty of time. And sometimes they don't even hit the books because of their small conference. You know, they really don't get a lot of love in the CAA. So if you can find them, hit them. But I wouldn't be, like, overly stressed because we can't. I think Santa Barbara might be the better team still.
I love Dallas Baptist. That's a team.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's not even in comparison. And as far as mid-majors, Dallas Baptist
plus are, mid-majors plus 350 to make the College World Series. That's the top eight. I feel like that's still a good value bet. They do seem like they have started.
Sam, is that, I'm assuming, Northeastern?
Yeah. Which, I mean, they have a lineup like to see. Do it with Mike Sirota, Cam Maldonado.
Yeah, they have the team.
They're solid. They had all the makings. They just didn't put it together against Arizona.
It's like they read the NCAA Insider's guide and press clips and stuff. But I would like to see, and it would never happen. Sam, I think you are right. Like, UCSB and Northeastern just started off slow due to pressure, and they'll be fine. But I would like to see, in a perfect world, Coastal versus Dallas Baptist to get into Omaha. Like, I think that would just be an incredible series.
What would you make the total in that game? And can we get it on the moon? That's all I want to know.
I mean, I would think minimum. And I tend to go a little lower in playoff baseball because there's a lot more pitching changes, a lot shorter leashes. So this is high for playoff ball. I would say 15 and a half.
That would be fun. Maybe outside.
Oh, my God. It'd be a blast. Be a blast.
Outside of Ryan Johnson. But
Coastal's pitching's not terrible. Eichhoff's numbers, I mean, he got rocked in the one Illinois game, but he's pitched really well. Meckley's pitched really well. The bullpen's held up, especially without having Teddy Sharkey, which was a big loss for them. I thought they've actually pitched better than maybe we all thought. I didn't say they were going to be elite, but I thought their pitching would be subpar. They're not subpar.
You know what's going to be a great game? Midweek. March 12th, TCU, DBU.
God, that's going to be incredible. I think the teams always get screwed in terms of bad seeding. Dallas Baptist always draws just a rough playoff. Coastal, now obviously they won in 16, and ECU. They just always get bad draws, and it keeps those teams, frankly, from being out of Omaha or being at Omaha more often. Can we just give them a nice, easy draw for once? Like, let's get them there. Outside of Coastal had that magical run, but let's get Dallas Baptist there. Let's get ECU there, and let's see what can happen.
No, you know what happens is Dallas Baptist goes to Fayetteville. Like, Fayetteville gets the shittiest draws. Like, we always get Oral Roberts or Dallas Baptist.
But it's a tough draw for that team.
We're going to get some really good mid-major.
And then you send like a Texas with Ivan Melendez hitting in a 260-foot base park of ECU, and he's hitting balls to the highway. I mean, just a tough draw. They can't ever catch a break. Coastal had to run into Duke. I mean, that's just tough.
Let's do the best bets. Duke plus 160 was the number I got. Virginia minus 143. Talked about those two. Kansas, putting my money where my mouth is, plus 250. I think they can stay with this TCU team. It's not going to be pretty. Don't try to watch it. And even if Kansas is up 12 to nothing, it's not safe until that final strike or that final out. St. Mary's going against Q's Florida Gators. They're probably not going to win, but plus 360 on a team that the projections had pretty much neck and neck. I'll take the risk. All our unit sizes and everything are going to be uploaded. Bet tracker at NCAAinsiders.com. This is not a full unit play. Don't go crazy on it. Maybe $5-$10. UCF plus 130. That's been postponed to tomorrow now. Not sure if it's going to void the bet or roll it over.
Must have been voiding it.
We get no consistency with the books.
It's been voids all season.
Not in Arkansas, always. California, minus 105. I like the Cal Bears. UCLA, I think they're a fugazi. Duke, Wake Forest, this number may be gone. I'm sorry to give out a stale number. Under 11.5. I think it opened 12.5, and it got hit immediately. Awesome.
Some places 13.5.
Austin Peay plus 3.5. Also put a little bit on the money line. I need an update. Sam, where are you? Plus 3.5 for Austin Peay. Dallas Baptist, UC Santa Barbara, my favorite two mid-majors with Ryan Johnson, Matt Ager, two of the best mid-major pitchers going. Parlay them for a little plus 108. And then lastly, Alabama, North Carolina, LSU. I'm backing three studs, Luke Holman, Ben Hess, and Folger. We've got to get that right. That's going to drive me crazy. Folger Boaz on the bump for those three teams, plus 105. Q, take it away.
I am running that Dallas Baptist UC Santa Barbara with you. So I will add that to my card.
That's
so
fine.
That will
take
make
time. We're not doing anything right now.
UC Santa Barbara minus 180. Duke is a half unit play at plus 154. Virginia money line, Texas Tech money line, Tennessee, Florida State, Florida. I did have a Coastal Bama, UC Santa Barbara not posted because Bama is voided. 10 on D. Oh, over under. Okay, cool. But that, if you did play that earlier, that's going to be around an even money play. When I did the Coastal UCSB rerun back, I have UC Santa Barbara, Florida, Duke, Wake Forest under 11.5. Again, I tweeted it out as soon as I got it. Hopefully you guys jumped on it. And then I'm going to tail Matt on the Dallas Baptist and the UC Santa Barbara moneyline parlay. But I got plus 111, so I'll take the 3 cents higher.
Golf clap. Smitty, not here. Duke, plus 150. UC Santa Barbara, minus 180. He laid it. Houston, minus 160. Who does Houston have? Encyclopedia.
Is it Sam Houston?
Scores? I don't know.
Is it?
I would, if I knew.
Somebody refresh us who Houston has. I thought it was Sam Houston.
Coastal Carolina, North Carolina, moneyline parlay. Would you say Coastal got postponed to tomorrow?
Bama.
Oh. And then Florida, Florida State, Dallas Baptist, moneyline parlay to round it out. Thank you guys for tuning in. If we don't have any more questions, y'all are active in the bullpen.
Yeah, love I love it. Let's get more in there. Clinton, that was fun.
So busy, like working on his taxes or something over there. I don't know what he's doing. All right. Thank you guys.
My guy's the best numbers.
Quentin, say goodbye to the people. Or do you want to just text them? We'll see.
I'll just tweet it out.
We'll see you for the recap show Monday. Cheers. Have a good weekend.